With unrivaled performance and breakthrough equine technology, Exhibitor's color-enhancing system is pH-balanced, contains no harsh chemicals, bleaches, or dyes, and intensifies your horse's natural coat color, contrast, and shine. Champion dressage trainer and international Grand Prix rider Kim Gentry says, "The quick shampoo and quick conditioner are really amazing. The formula is very low sudsing, and with very little effort, it pulled the dirt and grime off the horse's coats without having to do a lot of scrubbing. The thing I'm really impressed with is how soft it leaves the horse's mane and tail. For professional show ring results, Exhibitor's formulas clean and maintain the magnificence of your show horse. For more, visit exhibitorsequine.com."
Hey, Susan, happy February.
Raquel, I am so happy to see you. And you are wearing the cutest sweatshirt, which I know our readers, our listeners can't see, but it's got cowboy boot on it and looks like a cactus. And you're just such a fashionista.
Thanks. It's a cozy Wrangler sweatshirt for what happens to be a rainy day in SoCal.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
So. Yeah. So tell me, how are you and Knight doing?
I am so excited to tell you something. And this relates perfectly to our January episode with Dr. Paige Billick. Okay. So if you haven't listened to the episode, you definitely should listen to that because it was a really good one. But remember how we were talking and I was saying all these little like kind of stretching things and little prehab things that I was doing with Knight, like having him stand on those balance pads for 5 minutes every time I go out to the barn and doing just different stretches with him, like having him back up in a straight line with his head low for about 10 steps. And I have this heating pad that I put on him for 5 minutes before I put the saddle on. And then when I'm done riding, I put on it. So there are times I wonder if I am crazy. And it seems like these are such small things that I'm doing. And is it really making a difference? Because, you know, I see him almost every day and I don't see the difference. Well, I had the saddle fitter out yesterday and she does photos, like a confirmation shot and then kind of a close up from like if you're standing behind or, you know, by Knight's tail and then looking down along the spine. So she showed me the photos from when she was last out to flock my saddle in July of 2023. And then she showed me the photos that she took yesterday. And her comment, I should look at it, was something to the effect of, "Nice job changing your horse's body."
Oh my gosh.
I know. So he is building up his top line. And so all those tiny incremental things. And I started ground driving him. And I've been doing it not as consistently as I was for a while, but I was doing it at least once a week, and some days twice a week, and sometimes just for a few minutes, like before I got on to ride. So all of those tiny things have added up to having a horse with a better looking back. And
hey.
Yeah, so it works. It's not hocus pocus.
That's amazing. I know we talk about that a lot, though. We also had our saddle fitter episode, too. So he would, you know, I think both you and I can relate to that stuff, though. We're always trying to improve and just make things better for our horses.
Yeah. And one thing that was really cool, and then I have to say how this is such a nice segue with our guest for today. So one of the things that I worry about, because I'm an overthinker. So I'm sitting there. She, you know, flocked my saddle. I'm going to back up even further. My last lesson I had when I was doing the posting trot, I had this feeling like I was a little too close to the pommel with my crotch. Like, and it was just like, okay, I know that I'm posting correctly, so this is uncomfortable. I didn't hit it, but I felt tentative, right, about that. And then after she reflocked the saddle was sitting up, you know, how it was supposed to be. And she said, your horse is kind of a every 6 month kind of guy to have him reflocked. But I want to tell you, I'm super excited about our guest because Our guest is Aoife Simmons, and he's a certified fitness performance coach for equestrian specifically. And he has the Equestrian Fitness Academy. And so he helps riders of all disciplines through holistic fitness and wellness programs so that they're stronger and more supple in the saddle. And so it kind of reminded me of like what we were talking about only from the horse perspective last month with Dr. Page. Mm-hmm. Now we get to talk about our rider selves and have a, you know, an expert who can share how we can be our best and strongest and all of that.
Yeah. But, fitness February, right?
Yes. Fitness February. Of course. Like we planned it that way.
Yeah.
Okay. So enough about me, Raquel. I understand you have an important announcement to make.
Yeah. So you already know the news, but sadly, this is going to be my last episode of Barn Banter with you, which I know I just came back, but being a new mom and everything, I've just been evaluating a lot of things lately, and I'm just trying to offload some things off my plate because I joke to my husband that I say I'm a stay-at-home mom with a full-time job, and I am essentially that and much more. So just taking care of London every day, running my two blogs, shipping out stable style candles, all of those things, it has just been, it's been a lot.
And so, the other thing I'd like to point out, and I'm sad, but I totally understand and support you because family first is not only are you doing all those things, but you have a horse in your backyard. It's not like your horse is boarded somewhere where they're doing all the things for you. You are the person, I believe, doing all the things.
I am. Yeah. So I'm the caretaker. I've been riding again, which has actually been really nice. That's the one thing that I have really been prioritizing for me when the weather is nice, is I've been getting out, and both her and I have been getting in shape again. So, you know, that's been great. But yeah, I've just decided that to take a step back, but you know, I'm still going to be active. You guys can still find me on Instagram, and you and I will still talk, of course. We'll just have our monthly chats. They just won't be recorded anymore. But yeah, so I'm a little sad to go, but also just in some ways I'm excited to just have a little less on my plate.
Understandable.
With motherhood, which I guess in that aspect, I have so much more on my plate.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Raquel, I would hope that you would consider down the road, perhaps coming on as one of our guests, and we could even have a whole podcast episode dedicated to maybe motherhood and, you know, following your writing dreams and that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
We have lots to talk about that, cowboy boot fashion, you know, stable style, barn tours, et cetera.
Yes, I'd love to be on the other side of it one day. So yeah, that's my news, but let's get to our guest.
Okay, sounds good. On today's show, we will have a conversation with Aoife Simmons, a certified fitness performance coach for equestrians and creator of the Equestrian Fitness Academy. Aoife, a clinician, writer, and presenter, empowers riders of all disciplines through holistic fitness and wellness programs to improve their riding fitness with greater stability, suppleness, strength, and stamina in the saddle. Hi, Aoife. We are so excited to have you here because Raquel has declared February fitness. And you are the perfect guest for that.
It doesn't get much better than that. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So, okay, we go back a little bit in that we were both at Equine Affair last fall and our paths, we were like two ships passing in the night. You looked like, I did see you out of the corner of my eye and there were a lot of people at your booth. And so we didn't have a chance to meet, but this is perfect to have you here on our show today. So I would love to have you just share a little bit about who you are and what you do, and then we'll lead in with a bunch of questions.
Excellent. This is one of my favorite parts because it's almost never exactly the same. But my name is Ifa Simmons, and I like to call myself the equestrian fitness guy. And what that means is not only is fitness important for us as riders, but the wellness aspect is just as important. So it's more than lunges and crunches and those type of exercises, but really, why are we doing them? And how does that help us become a better horseman or horsewoman in this case? And that's what I do professionally, help riders become and create better habits for themselves on the ground so that when they're in the saddle, it makes everything easier.
That's amazing. That. Okay. So Raquel, do you want to start off?
Yeah. So okay. The one question before we just kind of dive into what you do, for equestrians who are, you know, they want to get started, but I know that, you know, from personal experience, it's hard to, you know, make that change or start that habit, you know, getting into fitness, or even if it's healthier eating, you know, it's the new year. So how do you help a client get started, and maybe they don't know where to begin? How do you help them kind of stay focused and, you know, take that leap?
What a question, or should I say, what questions?
Yes.
So multifaceted there. Okay, I'm going to go with what I remember first. And it is based on when working with a brand new client, when they come to me, they have their own situation. How do I help them understand what they are interested in doing and how to get there? Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Very good. So they come to me, they say, hey, I saw this, I met you here, I heard about what you've done with another client of mine. How can you help me? So I say, what is your number one goal? What would you like to see yourself at in 3, 6, 9, 12 months? And then also, how are you tracking that currently? And that answer is typically, I haven't thought about that before. Or should I say, no one's ever asked me that before, right? So that's where I say, based on what you've been doing or haven't been doing at this point, what aspects are you most excited about starting right now? And so the answer might be getting more fit. And I say, okay, well, what's our baseline? And so what do we start with that helps me to say, I know where I can take you from here? And so sometimes that is an answer. For people, it's really direct. And for other people, it's not as direct. So with people who aren't as direct, I would say, okay, here's what I think we should do. Based on my system with four pillars, stability, suppleness, strength, and stamina, we're going to take you from this point right now. And this is where I want to see you in 1 month when we have our next call, or in 3 months when we're done with that process. So for me, I think the most important thing is helping people understand why it's important and how it can be added into their life. And so that's where our programs are customized so that each client knows that they're actually getting a human who's going to help them do the right thing and keep them accountable throughout that journey, right? Because everyone doesn't come from fitness from the same side that I do, which is, you know, growing up, and that's kind of what I was around most of my life. That's quite the opposite for a lot of people. So I understand that and help them say, is that realistic? And then if the answer is yes, which most times it is, we can say, all right, now we can move forward from there.
Ifa, I would love to hear a little bit more about your journey as a human. So I know you love the outdoors and the horse thing, and maybe just give us, I mean, not the whole timeline of your life, but just some key points so we can get to know you a little bit better.
Of course. All right. So I'll make the story as short as possible. So grew up in New Jersey. And I'm here now. And the beautiful thing about that is we are the state with the most horses per capita in the entire US. However, I found that information out later on in life, not when I was young. So I did not grow up around horses. I grew up in a city, and you could imagine there aren't many there. Now, unlike the state of Pennsylvania or the city of Philly, where they have a lot of inner city riding programs, and quite a few have also happened across the US, we don't have any. So I did not grow up even seeing horses or people riding horses on a normal basis until my dad took me to what was the Mounted Policeman's practice arena that they had. That is now To this day, that is now, if you Google it, the New Jersey Devils Arena. So that same lot was where they used to, you know, just go and practice and, you know, just kind of continue that communication and connection with the horses that they need to ride on a daily basis. Fast forward another few years, I hadn't seen a real horse after that time for quite a while, to about 17, 18, fresh out of high school, took my first gym job, and a coworker of mine owned her own trail riding program and barn and such. And so she would invite us over and we would say, absolutely, co-workers and such, and we would go. I caught the bug immediately. And then I did that multiple times, who knows how many times, took my friends, took family, took everybody. And then she sold the farm. I moved to a different gym, moved to a different state, so on and so forth. But come 2012, 2013, working out in the White House Station, Flemington portion of New Jersey, which is a very, very popular horse area here, I started working with riders. They would come into our small studio and say, hey, I need to do something because what I'm doing right now isn't working. Or I heard that you were doing this. Can you give me more information? So on and so forth. So that's where the journey of me training riders started. And then that continued for a few years. And I moved away, came back to New Jersey during COVID, which is what we talked about. And that's when I decided to take it completely serious full time. Because in that 2 year time frame that I was away, I noticed that things did not change the way I thought they could or should have on a normal trajectory for how things begin and then just, you know, progress. So 2020, I said, I'm going to take this, what I've been doing in New Jersey locally, onto the larger scale, which is where people like you and, you know, all over the world in California and further are able to say, oh, I've heard of that guy. Oh, I've seen his program. I've talked to him before. And ever since then, it's just been, you know, consistent growth. So I'm really happy with that.
That's amazing. I love that story. And I don't know if, Susan, you have this question, but for me, do people come to you as riders and say, you know, maybe it's not a fitness goal or an exercise, but they're like, hey, I've been noticing when I'm cantering, I'm getting out of breath. And, you know, I can only feel like I sit that very well for maybe 10 minutes and I want to be able to do it longer. So I need to learn how to do this. Is that something that happens frequently?
That's the norm, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the norm. So I work with riders all the way up to the top levels, all the way to the trail rider like myself. And everyone has a different, unique journey, right? So they all have different things. It might be, I want to improve my lower leg stability. I want to experience less back pain in the saddle after I ride. I want to learn how to open my hip angle for some, and I want to close my hip angle for others. It could be, as you mentioned, riding the canter 2 laps around. Now I want to get to 4 laps around. I want to improve my stamina. That's where it goes back into those 4 pillars, because everyone falls in between those 4 pillars, no matter what they're doing. Actually, most of my clients come to me wanting to work on a specific aspect or a general aspect of improving their body, their position, their mobility, their stamina in the saddle. Another example could be, I want to improve more lower leg stability, or I want to improve my position over fences, or I want to improve my hip angle or my hip position, or minimize my back pain after riding, right? So I know many people are coming from the removal of ailments, and it's not always about performance, but that is an aspect of performance. So to answer that question, absolutely, that does happen often.
Yeah, that's great. It's funny because I'm just like thinking about myself just having a baby, and I've just started, both me and my horse have been getting back in shape, working on our fitness journey. And I'm a trail rider, but also, you know, like to work on the arena stuff. And I was cantering the other day and I haven't done, you know, a proper circle or a proper canter in a while. And I just did a few laps and I was like, wow, that was really hard.
Oh my gosh.
That makes complete sense.
Are there any go-to, like if someone didn't have a really specific thing, like, oh, I have a ankle that, you know, I had surgery on years ago or something. Like if there was someone that just said, you know, really riding is my only activity. You know, if there's a gym by my house and I know they have classes and stuff, is there any one thing you could say, go do a spin class or go do yoga? Is there any one kind of cross training activity that is a no brainer for equestrians?
Yes, I would say without a doubt, strength training. And here's why. I am Mr. Pilates and everything else. There's a reformer here. Oh, yeah. I believe in yoga. I believe in mobility, stretching, and also strengthening. But here's why that example or that answer is that as we mature, especially after the age of 21, I just saw this from a doctor on a podcast just the other day. But the thing is, we typically gain 1 to 2 pounds per year for the next 30 years, all the way up into 51, roughly, right? 51 to 61. So if we do nothing but one thing, we are automatically, typically going to gain that amount of weight, right? This obviously ebbs and flows in that scenario. However, the second portion of that is our bone density and our muscle mass starts to decrease after around 25 to 28 years old. So the one or two things that we can do to help mitigate both of those, which is weight management and also strengthening the bones and the muscle so that we can continue to keep the posture, understand our hip position, and also keep control over our legs, whether it's the arms or the legs independently, is strength training. And I don't mean strength training as in bodybuilding, which is what most people go to automatically. Strength training could also be functional training, like a push-up or like a squat or like a lunge, as we go back to again, as well as your core movements, because the strength component is just, is it going to cause extra resistance as you progress? That's really all it means. You don't have to pick up a dumbbell to always do that. It could be a band. It could be bad example, but a pillow for starters, and then it becomes a rock in, you know, 4 months if you don't have any fitness equipment. But it could be outdoor activities that also lead to that strength training. Hay bales, right? Barn work. Those can be considered that if you continue to add resistance to it. So for me, I would say that. My second thing, I'm very biased, as you just saw, which is Pilates. I love Pilates. Love it, love it, love it. But I also love yoga. So it's tough, but I'm going to go with Pilates because the premise of it is to strengthen and stretch the muscles at the same time. Did that I give you the one?
That was not what I thought you were going to say.
What did you think I was going to say? I'm really interested in hearing that part.
Well, I wanted you to say the thing that I do at the gym.
A spin class.
Oh, spin, yeah.
But spin could also be considered resistance training if done properly and you continue to increase it, right? We have that knob that if you continue to crank right, you know what's going to happen. And so when you do that, your legs do get stronger and so does your heart. So let's not take that off the picture. Okay. Spinning is not my thing, but spinning is your thing. And if you were in the program, hopefully someday, you'll be able to say, I would say you're definitely going to keep spin. 100%. You do what you love and we add and we maneuver things around in your schedule for you. But it's not what works for me is going to have to work for you. Do you see what I mean? So I would infuse the strength training around your spin schedule and adjust it so that you feel like I'm still getting what I want and what I need to help me move towards the goals that I set or we have set.
I know I'm over. I see you thinking, Susan. Yeah.
They're like, man, he didn't mention spin.
Okay. I want to know. All right. You are obviously very passionate about your work. It's palpable. And that's so cool.
Is it?
Why are you so passionate about your work?
That's an emotional question, mainly because I'm really saddened that people didn't have the same opportunity to see wellness the same way I did growing up. And not to say that my way is better, but in terms of like, we love being outdoors. I understand that that's not everybody's thing, but being on the couch and not doing much is also not setting your kids up or your next generations up for the best fighting chance to survive, right? Without horses, just in general. So the ability to keep moving and active helps so many aspects of our body internally, mentally, physically, emotionally. All of those things are easier regulated when we just add movement. It doesn't have to be my movement, as I gave you one thing and then two others. There's so many different ways you can do that. You love spinning, keep going. But a lot of people, when I meet that, which is why I don't like being called fit, equestrian fitness only, because majority of the time people have a switch that says that's got to be intense for and too much for me. And I don't want to be that guy. I'm not a big guy. I don't think I'm imposing on many people physically. And I like that. And I use that as often to say, I'm not going to tell you that it's time to get bigger and stronger and faster and all the rest of those things. No, we're going to work on what works for you. And that's what I want people to understand, that when they come to EFA, Equestrian Fitness Academy, and they meet with me, that this is really about you through and through. And so I'm passionate about it because we're in a society, in a world that is constantly giving us habits that don't make things easier for us as we move along. And no matter what, there's going to be a lessening of strength and abilities as we age, but it doesn't mean that there's going to be a complete removal. And I always use the example of the queen was riding well into her older years. And Lord knows she had a lot of stress on her day, every single day, as much as that lifestyle is. So if she can do it as an example, and we have mature and older aged Olympic riders historically in our sport, then why shouldn't we help ourselves get to that stage? And I didn't feel like there were people there in an industry like this one to help people get there. And so it's not that person is an anomaly, but it's more of a, I can totally see myself in her or him or them.
I love that. Here's a question for you. When a lot of people come to you, is it more for a riding specific goal, or do you have people who say, I want to lose weight? And how do you feel about, you know, like helping them navigate that? Is it more of the being better, stronger on my horse, or is it more of the, this is the goal, X amount of pounds and being stronger? Or would you say, and also I know I'm asking you a lot of questions in my question, but is weight loss or gain, because sometimes it's muscle, you know, a side effect of just doing your program? Even if someone comes in and doesn't want to lose weight, you know, the body's going to change, right?
Absolutely. So the first part of the question was, do people come to me to also just have a specific non-riding direct goal? The answer is yes. It is not common. That is not what I publicly market or portray, as in this program is going to help you do that. There are fitness professionals who do have that style or demographic of individual. I'm more of a body composition type of personal trainer, performance coach. Things move and adjust because we do something with them, right? When we see someone or a woman with the arms and we say, oh, wow, you can tell she works out. Well, yes, because there's a look. And now 5, 6 months or a year, or however long she's been on that journey, her arm did not look like that. But things adjust in time because we use them and we do something with them. If you go on hikes more often or hacks more often, your horse is going to be more fit, and so will you in certain ways. So the body composition thing for me is more of what I like to talk about initially, but I can't change what somebody else's initial goal is. If their goal is this, so let's get you towards that. And that depends, right? Like I have a client who just recently had a baby 4 months ago. We worked together all through COVID, worked together all through her pregnancy, and now we're working together again, re-strengthening her core, working on that position. And she's bounced back extremely well so far because she almost never stopped. And we trained at the barn the entire time. So that's just one example of now the goals and the lifestyle adjustments change when you have a major life event. I'll just say it that way.
Okay, I have another question. It might be related to the one you just answered, but do you have any transformation stories of any of your clients that you can share? I mean, I don't know what your confidentiality thing is, but is there anything that you, just a little anecdote you can?
Transformation. Yeah. Describe transformation to you.
Well, like a person wasn't able to do a specific thing riding and then, you know, working goodness. Very hard, they could do it. Or maybe they were struggling with something and then it, you know, became easier for them.
One moment, please. Yes, I definitely have that. As I was just explaining just a moment ago about the client who just had a baby, right? That's 4 months, I think, this week. And yeah, I mean, we're talking about COVID, right? We worked together for, this is 4 years in the making now. Think about that. And then obviously pregnancy, worked all through that until the last 30 days, I want to say. Took a break because coming to the barn and training in that environment, just trying to take care of your body, probably not the best idea. But now, about a month after she had the baby, she's back on track, back in the saddle, doing what she needs to do. I'm going to share with you some of the other examples verbatim of what other riders have done in just a moment. But the list is endless, honestly, of people who have received something that they weren't aware that they were going to receive. And I think that's the most powerful thing that we don't give credit to, which is I also work with the riders coaches during this time, right? So let's say they join the program and I say, I would love to talk to your trainer and see what they want to improve. They want you to improve on what you two are working on that you may not have mentioned. And so I meet with them and they'll say, okay, she has this, he has that, this is what I want to see. A month later, we meet up again, or 2 months later, and they're saying, whoa, yeah, you're right. This is a big difference. So I'm going to read exactly what we just talked about, sharing some positivity and what people were experiencing or are experiencing in their own journey and how they've been improving. One thing that has definitely improved for me is my balance and stability. I don't feel like I'm all over the place in the saddle anymore. I'm currently working on improving my sitting trot so that my upper body is quieter. My confidence has improved. Confidence has improved. And even through the winter, the riding and the different riding conditions, I feel comfortable in the saddle. Another client says, I feel more stable and have a better relationship with my horse now than I did at the beginning of this journey. Another one says, I've noticed my half halts have become more effective these past couple of months, likely because of the increased core stability and timing. And the current goal is to improve the quality of our canter in a jump saddle. Just as three or four examples there, as reading it verbatim.
That's amazing. Great. Yeah. And I love that you work also with the trainer. And yeah. I was kind of envisioning like, okay, I know exactly what my trainer would say that I need help on. And just even transitioning from disciplines too, you know, yesterday I shared in the banter section with Raquel, I had the saddle fitter out. Oh, Raquel, I didn't tell you the compliment. So I went from riding in a jump saddle, hunter jumper background, to dressage. I made the switch last year. And so when the saddle fitter first saw me sitting in a dressage saddle, I can't help. I'm, you know, a little forward yes. seat. And so yesterday she came out and to reflock the saddle. And she said that I had unfolded, which I'm assuming she meant I wasn't forward and had straightened up. So
yeah, there is a difference in body position based on and requirements based on the discipline. And while there are certain basics for sure, there are just minor adjustments that we have to tweak or adjust or talk about, even on the Western side, right? That there's not nearly as much of a closed hip angle as there is in the English side of things. So, you know, communicating on different sides of this and working with different disciplines offers me even more of that smile and excitement of just a different challenge. I love the ability to have to use my brain to think differently because I can't know everything about every discipline. You just can't.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So I would love to do kind of a little lightning round with you, if that's okay. And people definitely need to follow you on Instagram because you have videos and things and you show different stretches of that. So I was kind of cruising through there, looking at some of those, and I was like, okay, I want to ask him for different types of scenarios. So we kind of touched on a pregnant rider. If there was like one stretch or activity that would help either a pregnant rider or a new mom, what would be your go-to?
You did say stretch, correct?
A stretch or an exercise, but some type of thing.
What trimester are they in?
Raquel.
Oh my gosh. What, that question. Okay.
If it's for me, then you're talking about postpartum.
Okay.
Okay. Let's go. How many months?
Weeks? Three.
Excuse me.
Three months.
Okay. All right. So the body is healing. It's still in recovery process. I would say practicing some alternating crunches on the ball. So if you're sitting on the ball and your hands are hovered over your ears, you'll lift your right knee and your left elbow and come towards the center as you rotate. You'll come back down and then a left knee, right elbow. That's going to work on your balance, your posture, and your coordination, all three in one.
Do you have an exercise ball, Raquel?
I do. I think it's in my storage unit, though.
Oh, shouldn't tell people that. Okay. Okay. That's okay. That's okay.
Okay. Next question in our lightning round. And this one is for my sister. Okay. Someone who has a sore tailbone. They've had a tailbone injury. Do you have any particular...
From horses?
Yeah. Well, a fall, yes, a fall landing, okay. You know.
Put a padding, I would say lay down on the floor, put a padding underneath the hips and try a reverse crunch if it doesn't hurt. Is there any pain currently with this rider or person? Oh, I'm just since I don't know who this
hypothetical person that's absolutely not related to me.
No.
intermittent, non-severe intermittent.
Okay, then I would say that, yes, protect the tailbone, bring the knees into the chest. You're going to work the lower abs, the hip flexors, and the stability of the hip.
She doesn't listen to the podcast that I'm aware of, so we're good. Okay.
Until last this one. Episode.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, how about a senior rider?
Someone what's considered senior?
Senior in high school. No. Okay. How about someone who is, say, like 75-ish?
Okay.
And they're they're in good health and they ride and they just want to ride for as long as they can.
What one exercise would I give for them? Practice weight shifting and balance. Weight shifting is the first step to improving balance. So the ability to stand on 2 feet, shifting over to the right, and then shifting over to the left. Then as you get more comfortable with that, if that's really easy, you can shift over and lift one knee up, shift over and lift the other knee up, and just go from right to left that way. If they want to make that even more harder, they can grab a balance pad, which is like a, you know, foam thing that you can get on Amazon or anywhere else at the fitness stores that you might have nearby you. And then the last thing is balance pods. And they can also look that up on my Instagram page. Those little spiky, yellow spiky balls that I use often with every rider. If you have been in my program or know me, you know exactly what the balance pods are. But that's also a really good one. Just stand on and just stay as stable as possible. That's really going to help with your proprioception and your kinesthesia, not to get too scientific.
Very cool. Raquel, do you have anything else?
Yeah, I think last question would be for people who are considering joining your program. What is the time commitment for them? Or are there different tiers that we should know about?
The tier is whatever works for your goals and your lifestyle. So if you could literally say, I can carve out 30 minutes, 2 days a week consistently, that's what we're going to do. I typically give 3 days, 30 minutes, and people are able to adjust their training program. I also like to make it known that I don't like to only use the word workouts, but it's really a training program. His workouts are typically considered randomized and training programs are typically considered strategic. So when you have a strategic thing set for you, it's easier for you to stay on track with that because they're not randomized. So those two things I would say for time commitment would be 30 minutes. So always anyone can do that. And, or most people can do that. And then also 2 to 3 days, if not more, depending on who.
I love that. That's great.
And Aoife, we're so glad you came and spent time with us today. And where can people find you online and on social media?
Online, you can find me at Aoife Fit. That's spelled IFAFIT.com. So that's my first name, fit.com. And you can do that same exact thing for Instagram, which is IFA.FIT.com, or should I say, that's just the handle, IFA.FIT. And also on Facebook, my first and last name, Aoife Simmons, S-I-M-M-O-N-D-S. So yeah, thank you so much for having me. And on my website, you can't miss it, but you'll find the core guide, which is a really helpful PDF style guide that has videos and explanations and reasons why we should do certain exercises for us in the saddle based on hip positioning and posture and balance and all of those things. So that's an excellent resource for people to take advantage of, especially since it's right there.
Love that. Yeah. And we'll put those links in the show notes for our listeners so that they can click on those. And yeah, thank you so much for being here and enlightening us.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. Lots of smiles.
Have a fit February.
Yes.
I most certainly will. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
It's not easy being a cowgirl, but a little magic helps. No matter if she's a horse trainer, photographer, mother, executive, or athlete, Cowgirl Magic Hand Cream is here to add a hint of the luxurious life to any active, hardworking lifestyle. The new Cowgirl Magic Ultra Hydrating Cream is rejuvenating and clean, complemented by a light, soothing fragrance. Formulated with a blend of coconut, apricot, avocado, sesame, and olive oil, this age-defying formula works hard to deeply hydrate, restore, and fight the appearance of wrinkles as it absorbs quickly, with no residue or greasy feel. Learn more at cowboymagic.com.
Banter with us. We want to hear from you. Share your topic ideas with us. You can find me on Facebook or Instagram at Saddle Seeks Horse and Raquel at Horses and Heels with the little underscore. Don't be shy. Show us some barn banter love by leaving a review, and you can tell all your friends too.
The ASPCA's Right Horse program brings us this month's adoptable horse. Steel City Dude, aka Steel, a sweet thoroughbred from Prospect, Kentucky. Today we are chatting with Kate Olson at Second Stride. Hi, Kate. Thanks so much for being here with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So for our listeners, I am looking at Steel right now, and he looks like a sweetheart. So tell us a little bit about him.
So Steel is a 5-year-old chestnut gelding. He came to us from Florida in November of 2023, and he retired with a fractured sesamoid in the right front leg. And when he fractured it, he pretty much destroyed it. He had a pretty significant injury. So they put it back together with a rod and several screws. So that fetlock joint is now fused. So when he walks and he trots, he can't bend that fetlock. So he presents with an abnormal gait. However, though, when he canters, it's hard to see. So his canter is quite lovely, but that will limit him to being a pasture companion or possibly a pony horse for children. He shouldn't carry more than 150 pounds, or he could do some kind of horsemanship handling, agility type stuff and things like that. He's super smart, super willing to learn. We have had a six-year-old child on him, and we led him around on the lead rope, and he did fine. I wouldn't just put a kid on him right now without a lead rope. He still needs time to learn all that. But Steele's got a huge personality. He's a big guy. He's 16'3". And he's a good weight. He's not fat at all, but he's just a healthy off-track thoroughbred weight. He is shoeless right now, and he's not on any sort of supplements or medication for the injury. So he's a super easy keeper. He goes out. He's been out with youngsters and older horses. He gets along fine with everybody. He is quite playful. So you will see him try to rear up and play with the other horses, and he will run with them as best that he can. And then in the barn, he's a sucker for treats. He'll take most any treat that you want to give him. He can bite, not bite. He can nip a little bit, but he's not mean in any form or fashion. So when you work with him, you just want to be aware that he will reach out for treats and might grab something he's not supposed to grab. But he's not trying to harm anyone. He just wants food. Yeah. But he's a super easy keeper. He's a fun horse to work with and be around. Children can groom him, no problem. Inexperienced people can brush him, groom him, pick his feet. And then we do have access to MagnaWave machines, which is a electro stimulation therapy that we do on him just because he's here and he seems to enjoy it. And he stands very well for that. But he's super easy keeper. His adoption fee is waived right now. So as long as you can get him to where you are, and you have a safe and happy home for him, then we'll send him to you. And you're always welcome to come. Anyone's welcome to come and look at him at the farm.
That's great. I mean, he looks like he has a really kind eye and just looks like a sweetheart.
He does. When I come in the morning, he turns to look at me, and he's always up for kisses and hugs and anything else you want to do. So he's real personable.
That's great.
Yeah.
And what about, so you said basically, you know, light riding. So maybe a little girl, but then someone who has, you know, supervision, of course, to if they want to ride him, do a couple things, or, you know, maybe hop on him or play with him, but mostly companion. Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah. If you are lighter weight and you do want to ride him, we recommend, you know, just flat trails only at the walk.
Yeah.
No more than maybe two or three times a month. Because he is going to get a lot of arthritis in that joint, obviously. But he can handle lightweight adults occasionally, as long as he's not being asked to go up and down hills. As long as he's on the flat, then he's fine. Not real rocky. So if you've got just like a dirt path or even your farm, he is barefoot. Like I said, we trim him. Every month, he could probably go 5 weeks, and he's real good for the farrier. So he's not completely unrideable, but if you do put children on him, I would supervise him because we've only done that one time, and that's his first ride off the track.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That speaks to his character, I think.
Right, it does. That was he's been off since... Gosh, he's probably been off almost 2 years. He was in the hospital for several months with a surgery. Let's see. So he last raced in February of 2022. So it's been 2 years since he's been off the track. And then it was a year and a half since we had him that we put the little girl on him. And he was fine. He was a little what's happening here, but he didn't try to do anything. So he's intelligent. He just wants to be loved, fed, and played with, you know?
Yeah. So he looks like the perfect horse. If you guys are looking for someone to just love on and cuddle mm-hmm. and spoil, yeah. then yes. deals and with he, you.
Yes. He will wear costumes. We've had pilgrim hats and Santa hats on him. So you can dress him up for holiday photos. He doesn't seem to mind. He doesn't seem afraid of anything. We've had a bunch of plumbing and all kinds of work going on around the farm, and he doesn't scoff at any of it. So he's a great horse. He's just very, very limited to what he can do, but he'd make a great companion. And we leave him out at night. So he's out probably 17 hours during the day or at night, and then we bring him in. He could probably stay out all night if he has shelter. He's got a nice thick coat. I would just watch his feet if you're going to keep him barefoot, if you've got a rocky pasture or anything like that. You might want to put shoes on him, but he'd probably do fine out all the time.
That's great. Well, for our listeners who are interested in seeing these adorable photos of Steele and maybe potentially adopting him, we'll leave his link on the website, and he is available at Second Stride. And thank you so much, Kate, for being here with us today.
Thanks, Kate.
No, thanks for having me. Thanks.
Horse Illustrated can be found at horseillustrated.com. For special discounts on Horse Illustrated and Young Rider, just for podcast listeners, visit horseillustrated.com/barnbanter.
Thanks for listening to our show. See you next month.